Blog Talk Radio.
You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Say it again, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Now come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody!
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Welcome, welcome to the Saturday. I am your co-host, Kendra Cole, so come on in where we pray for you and engage with you, delivering a message to you from God in the written word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, beloved. Welcome to the Salt of the Earth. I am your girl, Sister Alexandra, and thank you for joining us today. Amen. We at the Salt of the Earth, we point you to the Word of God, written scripture, the gospel, and the life of Jesus Christ. Our prayers and praying can go deep, and our prayer bullets, when aimed, will hit their targets. Enough said. Now let's get started. We never take anything for granted, so let's bow our heads for our opening, cleansing, and protection prayer. I receive the spirit of power, love, and sound mind in Jesus' name, amen. No demon has the right or the power to attack my mind or anyone on this prayer line's mind because it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I release the angels of war from the kingdom of God. Angels, take your positions against Satan and his demons now. Cover the prayer line, the whole air, land, and sea with the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you guys for joining us today. Amen. Today is Friday, and I guess we have finished the week, and we have a great weekend to look forward to. And you always have to remember that you are the most sought out person. You are sought out because you are God's people. You are chosen. God has a place for you, a space for you, a race for you, and a pace for you. And God will see you through. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the bread of life. Let us feast on you and find nourishment for our souls. You are the light of the world. Let us follow you out of the darkness. You are the door. Let us enter the Father's presence in your name. You are the good shepherd. Let us rest in your provision. You are the resurrection and the life. Let us find life and victory in you. You are the way, the truth, and life. Let us love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in your name. Amen. 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 So today, guys, I know I wasn't on last week, and we had a little hiccup that had to be dealt with. Amen. But what I want to tell you guys about today, we're going to talk a little bit about deliverance. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about reparations. Amen. And we're going to have maybe an open discussion. Amen. So we want everyone involved, and we want everyone to hear about the reparations. Okay. And we're going to start off with, I'm telling you guys, guess what? You know we are at war. We are at war. You know we're at war. Amen. We look outside our door. We are at war every day. But guess what? I'm on the war path. Alexandra is on the war path because I see the devil is trying to take something away from me that God is putting before me, and I am not having it. So I am finna fight for mine. Amen. I am finna fight for mine. I am finna show you how warriors get down with God when it's time for us to fight. Amen. So everybody that's missing this program will be missing something because you're going to learn something today about prayer and being a warrior for Christ. Amen. Because I'm putting it before you guys that Alexandra is on a war path. Amen. And the reason why I'm saying it is because I have a legal battle that I'm going through. Amen. And guess what? There will not be any exceptions. There will be no exceptions at all that I do not persevere this situation. Amen. God has never left me and has never let me fall. So this is in his hands, but he said, you take one step, I'll take two. So He's already taken one. I've already taken one step, and now he's taken two. But he know that I am coming out with a vengeance, because guess what? There is no room for failure. There is none. Did you hear me? There is no room for failure. So if I cannot come back and tell you that we have won this situation, then God has let me down, because he has never let me down. But this situation will be won. And so I'm telling you guys about it because it's strongly on my heart. And now I am to the point where I have to step up, because my attorney says that I have to set it on fire. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm setting it on fire with the prayers of God. This will not fall through the cracks. Amen. And guess what? Failure is no option. Did you hear me? Failure is no option when it comes to Sister Alexandra, because I am a can-do person. I am Sister Alexandra Can-Do, and I know I can do this with the help of God. So I will be, again, in prayer, and I am warned. So you guys, if you hear me get a little hyped up or a little excited, just know I'm in prayer as well. Amen. And again, failure is not an option. So I am not on the losing side. I am on the victory side. Amen. I am on the victory side. And that brings us to, this is what I want to talk to you guys about that brings us to deliverance. Amen. When we ask the Lord to do something for us, he delivers us from it. Example, in Psalms 34 and 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers. Do you know my heart has been heavy on this situation? I've been carrying this for 2 years, and there's no way God is going to let me down when my attorney step in that courtroom. I am not taking no for an answer. Do you hear me? I have already got started. I'm already hyped. He hear me every day. And I told you, failure is not an option, because God delivers. The Lord delivers. He said it in his word, he delivers. We're going to go to Psalms 107. Let's find Psalms 107 and 6. Now, if you have that, the scripture says, when they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered. The Lord know right now that I'm warned. He knows when I'm warned. And he knows right now that this is next to my heart. So he knows this is important to me. And he knows that I am in prayer. And I have also told him, I said, Father, I know with you I have victory. And failure is not an option. So therefore, I'm going forward in your name, in your will. Amen. So again, let's show you another one. Okay. Like Psalms 50 and 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Who is this talking? This is our Lord and Savior. And I will call upon me in the day of trouble. Lord, I'm in trouble. How many times have you guys cried unto the Lord? Lord, I'm in trouble. How many times have we cried to the Lord that we're in trouble? When we have an accident, somebody hit you, you know you're in trouble. Lord, I'm in trouble. Is everybody okay? Like, I'm going to the hospital. The car is towed up. Did anybody survive? Did anybody live through this? You in trouble. When you in trouble, when I'm in trouble, I don't know about nobody else, but I call upon the Lord. I call upon the Lord all the time. Even before I'm in trouble, I call upon the Lord when I need him. I don't hold back. I don't think that I'm too good to talk to the Lord or I'm too busy. No, when I need help, I call on the Lord. He has given me scripture, and he has told me that he will, for the righteous, when you hear the righteous cry, he will hear and deliver. Amen. And so I'm one of his righteous children. You are to be one of his righteous children. And when you call him for help, he will be there. He will be there. He will not desert you nor leave you. If anybody leave anybody, it's us. We walked away from him, but he has not ever walked away from us. And it says in Second Samuel 22:2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And that's exactly what he's going to be for me when I walk into court. He's going to be my fortress, and he's going to be my deliverer, because he's going to put a hedge of protection around my attorney, because I'm requesting it, and I am down on my knees. I will be up early in the morning praying way before she gets to court. And I told my attorney, I said, do not let them intimidate you, because she then came back and told me they pretty much have intimidated her. But I told her, look, you proud black woman, you go in there and you represent. You knock them down. You also went to college and graduated, and you too have a degree in law. Don't let them intimidate you because they come in there with a suit on. Don't let them intimidate you because they coming in there with a certain type of look, and they letting you see all this, and they saying fancy words and, you know, legal garble, which I don't know, but I'm sure my attorney knows it. Do not let them intimidate you because you see two or three of them and you're by yourself. You are never by yourself. When you walk in that courtroom, you're not only walking with me, but you're walking with God. I told her to go in there and kick butt. Kick butt. That's what we do. When we fight, we kick butt. We don't play. We don't play with them. We slay them. And that's what she's going to do when she walk into court. She's going to be doing some slaying. In the name of Jesus, she going to slay all them demons up in there, because they done intimidated my attorney, and then they're trying to talk garbage this way. No, we will not be intimidated. We don't care how much money they have paid you to represent them. We don't care, because victory is already mine, honey, and I have it in my hand. I'm just going to court to appear, to show up. But it's already mine. I'm already walking in victory. Believe that. You don't have to believe it. I know it. I'm living it. And I will come back and I will tell you guys on this line, the day of my victory, I will be back with it. Amen. So this is how we have to fight when we really need to fight. We ain't playing. This ain't no laughing situation. This is serious stuff. Prayer is serious. Faith is serious. Belief is serious. All this stuff is serious stuff. This is not anything to play with. You might take it lightly because you're not doing it every day or you're really not into it. But once you get into it, you will see all kind of things moving. That's how God operates. He moves. And so when he moved, we move. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. That was the first thing that I saw this morning when I got up and looked on my phone. It said, you will not need to fight in this battle. This is 2 Chronicles. And it says, stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Now, if God is for you, who can be against you? Victory has already been predicted. Victory, because I believe in him, because I believe him. He's my truth. I don't believe anything else. I believe what he wrote, what he said. And I'm believing it, and I'm standing on it. And he knows it. This is how you fight. You fight on your knees. You fight with scripture. You give it all you got, and you don't ease up until you have your victory in your hand. I have my victory in my hand, and now I'm walking it. I have my victory in my hand, and I am walking it every day, scripture, every day, talking to the Lord. I know already what the turnout is going to be, so I'm not worried. I know they have my attorney maybe a little bit, but we're going to talk again on Monday. But she is going in there to slay. I had an attorney before, and he did the same thing. He was scared, too. I don't know where we get these scary attorneys from. I guess maybe when they see two and three from the opposite side, they just go into panic mode or just don't feel like that they can whoop some butt. But they can whoop some butt. You know what I'm saying? You can't go in there already feel like you defeated before you even start. Amen. So that's the same way God is with us. We can't go anywhere and try to pray for somebody and already defeated before we start. You can't be defeated before you start. You have to be in a positive state of mind. You have to be in a positive state of mind and be ready to receive it and see nothing else but that. When you look at that man in the mirror, who do you see looking back at you? That's you looking back at you. That's you staring back at you. What kind of power do you have? So what I'm saying is this. Do not let anyone intimidate you because they might have more diplomas. They might be getting paid more money. They might be in a building that's 16 stories in a glass building downtown. It does not matter where you are located. It does not matter what you wear in there to the courtroom. It does not matter if you went to Harvard or any of those big schools coming out as a legal person, coming out as a lawyer. They said the number two places where lawyers live mostly is California and New York. And why is that? Because these are two states that love to sue. So you need to know that your legal people, amen, if you ever going in court about something, get with God on it. And as long as you are in the right, get with God on it, go in on them and fight. We are not supposed to, look, we're supposed to be able to do all these things with no problem. Pray for people. Walk in the court and get it. We're supposed to be able to demonstrate some of these things. And one thing I can say, I can demonstrate everything I've ever told you about. I can demonstrate that I didn't walk up in the court and God was with me and I walked out with no penalties. It was dismissed. Not once, but a couple of times. Even on Valentine's Day, I walked up in the courtroom. Bam, he hit the hammer. It was dismissed. Everybody before me had to pay a fine, $400, $500. And then when he came to me, I just talked to him. I said, good morning, Judge. Happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, they go straight to the point. Are you guilty? I said, no. And then why? I explained to him why. But when he hit that hammer, it was dismissed. Now, everybody before me was looking at me like, now, how'd she get a dismissal? Because I don't walk in there by myself. I don't walk in there as no carnal-minded person in court. If I got to go to court, I'm taking the best with me. And the best is who else but my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that has given me, he has a word for everything under the sun in this book. In this Bible, he has something for everything under the sun. It's not anything out here on this planet that is not in this word that he talks about and what you can do about anything that happens to you. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to stay on the winning side. We want to stay on the winning side. Amen? I'm missing also a young lady that used to come on here, and she was doing great. She just got caught up with the wrong people. And again, I have tried to connect with her, and I guess she was telling me what was going on, but I told her to stay close to God and don't leave. But I haven't heard from her, and she's not returning my calls. I wish her well. I'm going to continue to pray for her, but she got caught up with the wrong people, and she doesn't even recognize that. But I just tried to open her eyes to the word of God and to continue her relationship with God, because she said she had got hurt by a church. And so she wanted to come online and give it a shot. But again, she got caught up with some people in the world. She was doing really good. And she got caught back up with some of the past people that she had been dealing with. So the devil had stepped back into her life, because guess what? She allowed it. The devil can't come in your life unless you open the door and let him in.
Amen.
So she opened up the door and she let him back in. And I really tried to work with her. I'm still trying to reach her. But if she doesn't respond, it's nothing I can do. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing my part. As long as I do my part, and then I leave the rest to my Heavenly Father to do, and then she has a part to do too. And if she doesn't do her part, then it can't be fulfilled. Whatever God has for her can't be fulfilled, because she then went back into the world, slid back like into the world with some of the old people that she was with before. There was nothing positive for her going on. Some people just slide back into their old habits, their old ways, and she's one of them that have slid back into her old ways. So I hope that my message get to her. I hope that she comes back, but I'm going to keep praying for her anyway. Amen. And I just hope that the Lord touch her. And even if she goes in a different direction, as long as she continues to keep the Lord before her or find her church home, God bless, and he will take care. Some things are just out of our hands. Once it's out of our hands, there's nothing else that we can do. We just turn it over to God at that point. So I'm at the point now where I'm turning it over to God. Amen. But I will not let anyone come online and want to participate in things that we're trying to do to do stuff for God's people, strengthen them, to give them courage and all that. We will not have people coming on here trying to take advantage of God's people, because there was another person on here trying to do the same thing, take advantage of God's people. And they come on here and they listen, and then they, you know, what they pull was really, I was just offended by it. But anyway, we still continue to go forward. And I talked to the person, and it's up to them if they want to come back, but I've talked to them. And I told them I don't hold anything against them, but they have to correct their wrongs and let's go forward. But that's up to that individual if they want to do that or not. Amen.
Amen.
So God give you options, and so do I. So I don't take anybody and tell them what they have to do and this and that. No, that's not me. You make your own decisions about whatever you do. God allowed you that same privilege to make your choice. He gave us choices and options. So we use them to the best of our ability. Amen. So, yes, deliverance, we need that. We need deliverance. So, again, I do have something that's on the plate before God, and I just wanted to share that with you guys so you can see how powerful you can be when you get scripture and prayer together and when your mind is made up. When your mind is made up and you believe it and you receive it, amen, and you talk back to God, you give scripture back to God, it's no way you can lose. The only way you can lose is you don't show up. If you don't show up, you automatically lose. But there's no way you can lose unless you don't show up. And my attorney is going to show up. She going to be there before time. Because I'm giving her all the energy and stretch that she need, and God go give her the rest. Amen, because that's how God works. He know that they are doing some undermined stuff, some slippery stuff. My attorney even told me that, you know, some of these attorneys are something else. They be doing slippery stuff, back-ended stuff that they think that the people don't know about. But I'm glad that I know legal counsel. I know a few people that are lawyers that deal with law. And they also have the law library that you can use. It's open to the public. So we just always go in love and peace. But deliverance right here, I am in trouble, and the Lord is with me. So I don't fear anymore. I was explaining it to you guys. I don't fear anymore, but I am fighting. I am fighting a battle that is already won. And I'm not taking it for granted because I know I already won, but I'm going to still do this necessary steps, which is pray and do what I need to do. Pray and praise and take it to the Lord, and he knows. So I'm going forward with that. Amen. And that's the little bit I wanted to share with you guys about warring and fighting, the war room. I call it the war room. When something is heavy, the war room. That means you need prayer. You might ask someone to pray with you or for you, but the war room, that's where you call war with whoever, even spirits. You war with them too. You let them get away with nothing. I told you, you cannot let them get away with anything. If you have any door open, the demons will be there. The devil will come where anywhere he can get in any hole. Amen. So this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about, the reparations. Okay. So I noticed that a lot of people, I saw seeing different articles about reparations. And what I wanted to bring to you guys was, I don't know if your state is doing it, but they said some states are going for their reparations. Okay. They say California is going for a reparation too. But the reparations that they putting on the books, most people ain't going to live to get that reparation because it's going to take too long to get it. And the reason why I say that, because they have a whole list of demands that they want for the reparation. And they know half of the people that may have signed up for the reparations might not even be here to get it, because that's how long it's going to be on the books. It's not like they're going to do it next year or in 2 years. They try to prolong that and push that back as far as they can. So that means that you might not live to get any reparations. But we see in different states, people are putting together reparations, and they're taking it before the judges, and they are, some of them have gotten paid. Some of them have. It all depends on what you asking for. If you asking for too much, they're not going to give it to you. Like some people think that they're going to go all the way back 400 years and pay us, or 300 years and pay us from way back then. That's not going to happen. You're not going to live to see that. You won't live to see that. So you got to do something different. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What is that?
Reparations?
Uh-huh.
Okay, reparations. Okay, reparations is when we went through slavery. Everybody talk about that 40 acres and a mule.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people want to get reparations for what our ancestors went through. Okay, so I think that they don't have a problem, but when you guys come to the table and say, I want $1 million each, I'm like, come on now, you know they ain't finna give everybody $1 million each. Do you know how many black people it is? And then the young women still having babies? That's not gonna happen. You're not gonna see it. Okay, let's be realistic. That's realistic, okay? So, but you can put together something where it seems more feasible and easier for them to get to, and they might do it. Just like the Japanese. Well, the Japanese, what they give the Japanese? They gave the Japanese $20,000 each and an apology from the president. Well, we want something similar, but we want a little more than 20 grand. So I was thinking about, I talked to a couple of legal people, okay, and see if they would be interested if we got some people together for the reparations, and see if they wanted to sign up for them. And we're going to give them something easy to deal with and see if they can come back to us a little bit sooner than all those people that's on the docket that ain't going to see that stuff for years. Like, okay, I'm going to make an example. Like, one of the persons have an attorney, right? They want reparations. They said, how much they want? They say they want $1 million, and they want schooling, housing. They named And then in California, they asked her for $350,000, but some of them asked her for schooling, housing, food, grants. Now, they know a lot of people is getting that anyway through the government. If you on social services, if you get food stamps or welfare or anything, you already getting that type of stuff. But I'm still saying they put that in there with the money of $1 million. Now, they already, again, the government is already giving all this out, so most people should know about where the food and the housing and stuff is, but they still put that on there. So they put that on there with the schooling. Okay, and then they said $1 million. Then one dude said they owe us more than that. They need to pay us $1 trillion each. Well, you can just go ahead and just count yourself out because they not going to give you $1 trillion. They ain't even thinking about that, so you're not going to even see that. So they're going to dismiss that. They'll never bring that to court. You'll never see that happen. Okay, so they wasted money on that one. We need to be somewhere where it's negotiable, where we can see something or get something before we pass. That's what I'm coming to the table with. We need to be able to get together, sign this petition that I'm getting some people to put together, and then when we sign it, if these attorneys take it, then what we're going to do is pass it around so everyone can get it. We're going to put it on TikTok. We're going to put it on YouTube, we're going to put it on a lot of different sites and just have Facebook, and we're going to have people sign up for it if they're really interested in it. And we know that the attorneys don't work for free, that they have to get paid, so we have to put something aside for them, or either you give them 33% out of whatever we go to court and try to get. So if you don't put any money in to lessen what you have to pay the attorney, then what you could do is wait until we see if they'll go ahead and fight for us and what we ask it for. So I was thinking, if we wanted to see some of this money, if we wanted to see something happen now, we could do like everybody else. Some people are getting paid and some people are not getting paid. Everybody got different things they want in their reparations. But I just want to see some of us get something, get paid. So we don't need to go for $1 million. We need to go for less than that. And I'm not trying to make it seem like that our ancestors didn't go through anything. They went through a lot, but they not going to go back that far. You know, right now, when you deal with the government, they don't want to go back no further than 5 or 10 years. So they the same way with everything else. So we can't be looking at $1 million. We got to be looking at something that's more easier they would feel that they can get to. Something between $300,000, because one guy said $350,000. I think $300,000 is decent. And then we have to pay the legal team that does it. So we would have to put money in an account. Either you can pay afterwards or you can pay on it before, so you will have, so they have less to take. But that's what I wanted to talk to about the reparations, and I wanted to know how many people on here thought that that would be something that they would like to get involved in. And everyone, we're going to try to see if we can get a we're going to talk to attorneys and see if this is something more realistic where the people will come to the table and talk to us. Because if you got it too far out there, them people not even going to talk to you. They're going to tell you to get in line and like everybody else. But we trying to make it where we will see something before we leave. So I was thinking maybe with the children, maybe the children could get something like maybe about $85,000 and maybe some college tuition and some, maybe we could ask for something like that. So we can speed it up and see if they would do that. $85,000, that's not a lot. They should be getting more than that, but at least they getting something. $85,000 is something. It can help them through college. It can help them put down on a house. It can help them maybe start a business. It can help them do something. But once they blow it, that's it. They can't come back for more. The older people, like my age, I'm going to say between 60 and 100, the older people, that still, like, granddaughters, like I'm a granddaughter of a slave. My mother told me about the stories, her and her. My mother was born in 1922. She's no longer here. But, you know, she was born in 22. Her mother was back in the 1800s. And her grandmother was back in the 1800s, maybe late 17, between 8. I'm going to say 18. So 1800s. But that's I'm the granddaughter of a slave. But I'm just saying that the older ones, we should be able to get 300,000, or like that man said, 350. Between the age of 60 to 100, we should be able to get 350 or 300,000 plus an apology. The younger children, they haven't been in no slavery. They just been lazy. Let's talk about it. They just been spoiled and lazy. So they don't need no 300,000. They just need some education, some schooling, and then give them 85,000 per child. Because they didn't go through nothing. They really didn't go through anything. But I understand they had ancestors, but that's why the older people in their family are getting more, because they were more closer to the situation than the young people today. The young people today is just going through laziness. I don't want to. I'm not ready. I'm spoiled. You know, they going through whatever young people was going through, or hip-hop and all that crap. So I want to know how many people would be interested in something like that, because I'm going to put it together, or either if I don't have enough people to put it together, which I should after I go on all these sites, we're going to go ahead and get this legal team to take it. So it's going to be 2 to 3 legal people that take it. And that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about on that. Now, right now, I'm going to open up the floor for anyone who wants to make a comment. Okay, about the reparations, because this is something I'm seriously thinking about. But again, I said each city may have their own reparations, and you might want to look into your city and see if your city has filed for that, because a lot of cities are filing for it, but everybody's not talking about it and everybody's not sharing. So once they pay the reparations, they're not going back for people that, oh, I didn't know about it, I'm going to go sign up. It's going to be too late. You have to sign up with them when they are doing it. That's how you become a part of it. But after they have paid out those people for the reparations in that state, you won't be able to go file, because they've already done it. So you need to be in it when they do it, or you need to be on board with someone else that's doing a reparations and you want to be a part of it. So Sister Rebecca, did I explain it to you where you understood it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What do you think about it? Do you think that's a good plan, or do you think that's something that you would want to be a part of? Would you like reparations for what happened to your ancestors and your mother and your grandmother?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, so that's something that we all should look forward to seeing if we can make that happen before we pass. Because I know our children are not going to pick it up. I don't believe our children will pick it up. It's going to be someone that's a little bit older. But if we do have some smart young children that want to pick it up, then, you know, maybe they'll do it. I'm not sure. But I know the older people, we should definitely put in for our reparations now while we're still here. Maybe we can get something out of it. We don't know. But whether we get something out of it or not, at least we tried and we put it on the dockets before the courts. So that's what I'm presenting to everybody. We don't, you know, it's a lot of things we may not see before we leave here, but we can always be working towards something to make it better for our family. If we get the money, I'm sure we could help our family members a lot. We could probably help ourselves a lot, be debt-free, a whole lot of things, you know. But if we do this, and we take down names and everything, and we stay in prayer on this, this thing going to be so overloaded, it's going to be like a cart that's just spilling over. So we can do this if we work in unison and we do it together. Everybody be like-minded. We can do this. I'm telling you, we can do this. These are the type of things that you know, we can do and we can come out on the other side of victory and said we did it because God put it before us. Well, I put it before God about the reparations, but I had already heard about it. But this is something that I want to do with God's people, too, that need to be involved. We need to get more involved with things so people will know that God's people are still here. They see us in church, but, I mean, everybody in church really ain't representing God. So I'm just saying God's people are still here, and we still fighting. We still fighting. We going through all kind of things, ups and downs. We supposed to be here for each other. We supposed to do a wellness check and check on each other. And when I was missing offline, I had people that did call me that was concerned. And that's brotherly and sisterly love. And that's what I like to see. And the same thing with them. If I know of them, I have their number, whatever, I'm going to call and check on you and see what's going on. Is there anything I can do or help you or whatever? I try to be that type of person. And I would like for God's people to step forward and be the same way. And let's show them God's people is still making things happen. We are the people that make things happen. And when things don't happen, it's because we didn't put no effort into it and we didn't plan anything or we didn't do anything. We want to do things so God can see us down here moving. We in church, a lot of us in church, but we need to do some things where God see us moving. We don't just need to be moving in church. We need to move outside of church as well. So I'm saying this reparations, this could be a start. This should be something that you should think about in your heart. If you want to go to God with it, you can, and pray on it. You can do that too. If it's the right thing for you, I would like for you to join us on this journey where everyone will feel appreciated. Everyone will feel like they got something for their ancestors or for their family, and they live to get it. So that's what I would like to see us do, something in unison that, you know, that we can show God that we can get together as one, think as one, and we can make things happen. Like I'm telling you about this court case. If all of us got together and prayed, man, this thing would break down and they'd be ready to give us our money. But we got to be serious about it. That's the only thing about God's people. When we do something, we have to mean what we do. This is serious. Whenever we do something for God, with God, or when God sent us on a mission, this is serious. He wouldn't send us just out there in the wilderness or out here amongst these people and not be equipped for what's out there. We are equipped for everything that's out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that we need to come together, and we want God to see us making moves down here. We done read about them in the Old Testament. Now we in the New Testament. We need to be making some moves too. We don't need to just be reading about history. We need to make history so our kids and grandkids can see this is how God people move. This is how women and men of God move. We can do stuff together. We do stuff in unison. So we need to do this. We need to do this reparations. Like I said, if you haven't already done it in your city, then maybe you need to either, if your city has one, find out, join them, and find out all the rules and what's the monetary award that they're going for. Then you'll see if you want to join that, or if you want to maybe look into somebody else's reparations and see if you can get on board with theirs. The point of it is that you want to get something for your ancestors for what they went through. And everybody keeps talking about the 40 acres and the mule. Don't nobody want no mule today. And 40 acres, you probably not go see the 40 acres, because if they gave every black person 40 acres, there wouldn't be no more land left. So they not going to do that one either. So, therefore, we want to do something to kind of force their hand a little bit to acknowledge. This might be something they might acknowledge, because they know we ain't answer for a million. We answer for something that's doable, because we know they spend a lot of money every year on bull crap. Our government spends money on stuff we don't even need every year. They give out foreign aid every year. I just looked at where foreign aid, $39.9 billion. We could have been got paid. But we just got to ask for the right amount so we can get paid, so this can be behind us. We don't have to talk about it no more. We got paid over here. These people doing the reparations, they got paid. Now those people over there, they trying to get paid. It all depends on what you asking for. So we just asking for straightforward money, an apology, and if we can get kids to get into college and tuition, that would be great. Because all the kids, most of the kids want to go to college. Most kids want to go to college because their parents is want them to go to college and say, hey, my son or my daughter graduated from college. You know, they degreed. But most people that I know today are degreed or not in a profession.
Amen.
I've been working with people that got 2 and 3 degrees. Well, why are you here? You got 2 or 3 degrees. You overqualify for most jobs because you got three degrees. Who gonna pay you all that money? So I'm just saying, I was sitting with a guy when I was looking for a job, and he told me he had 3 degrees, and I'm like, why are you here? You should be doing something else, but he's looking for a job and he got 3 degrees. Well, maybe he can get a job at one of them. But if he tell those people he got 3 degrees, they're going to say overqualified. They don't want to hire him unless he's going to take low pay. And most people with degrees don't want to take low pay. That's why they tell y'all to go to school so you can earn an average of $1 million more than the regular person that don't go to school. But everybody that have went to school that I know got degrees, my sister got a degree. And guess what? She ain't doing her profession. She was, but she ain't doing it no more. A lot of people got degrees, not doing their profession. I mean, waste money on that. Why would you? I mean, to me, if you go send your kids to school, I'm glad my kids, I'm done with that. But if you go send your kids to school for something, spend $100,000 for them to learn computers, baby, when they come out of that school, guess what? The bills start rolling for that student loan. It's coming right after they get out. I done had a couple of student loans. I'm glad I'm done with that. It's over with. I got my letter where I done paid them back, and I hold on to that thing real tight because they'll say in a minute, you ain't finished paying your student loan. Oh, honey, I got the letter. I'm through. I'm done. But a student loan will stay with you until you go into the grave. That's one thing they won't take off your record is taxes and student loans. Those two are going to follow you into the grave. Because if you got a student loan on there and you're not paying it, you can't get no house. You can get a car because they got car lots. Say, well, you can pay as you go or whatever. But you ain't getting nothing big like no house. If you owe the government money, you ain't getting no house. He going to come and take your house, if anything. So when your kids get out of college, if you guys don't have a game plan for them, they are going to fail, even though you put them through college. Because I'm telling you, a lot of times they don't do their profession, and if they do, that's good. But about 3 to 6 months after they're out of school, those bills going to start coming in monthly. So now you got an extra monthly bill on you that your kids should be paying for, but if they didn't get a job in their profession, they probably doing something else, and they student loan gonna be like $200-$300 a month. So that's something that a lot of people need to think about. Today, if I had a kid, I would not let them go to college. Well, my daughter right now, she don't go. I would set her up for success in a business. Because that's what the world is about, business. It ain't about those schools that they got these kids going to and the kids don't get jobs in those areas. Now, like I said, some do, but a good majority of them don't. How you done went to school for computers and here you are, you in the store with me, and I'm a GM for a fast food place, and here you are and here with me, and you got a degree. I'm like, you in the wrong place. Unless you own in one of these things. You know what I'm saying? I'm in there trying to learn everything that I can about it from top to bottom because I know that I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm trying to, any business I go to, I try to learn it from top to bottom. But what I'm saying to you is if you go put your kids out there to go to school, you know what I'm saying, just make sure that your kid don't break you going to school. Like Susie Orman say, don't put your house up. They old enough now to sign off on their own. They go start off in debt. When they get out of school, they go come back home and live with you because they got to. They got to have a foundation, right? So they done graduated now. Now they just got to find a job in that area. Everybody going to school for computers, but guess what? Computers is the number one thing, and they going to have a whole lot of people they going to be competing with. You know how many people want to work at Google and all these number one places? These students is going to school and getting as much as they can because they want to be at Google. They want to be at all those tech-savvy places. You know what I'm saying? They want to be there. They want to make those six figures. But ain't nothing wrong with it if you can get in there. But remember, they already told you it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. So when you get out of college, then who do you know that can get you up in there in one of those savvy companies? Or you could go for a small company, too. But I'm just saying, the small companies, I don't know if they paying six figures, maybe close to it, but the big companies, they starting off six figures, pretty much. So I'm just saying, and they're going to have a hard competition. You know how many applications, when they have one opening, they get about 35,000 applications for one opening. So guess what? Your son and daughter going to be competing with a whole lot of kids. Not saying it can't be done. Anything can be done. But I'm still saying they're going to have that $100,000 hanging over their head while they stay at your house, while they try to figure out their life and get out there and get a place to stay, a car, and got $100,000 hanging over their head. They starting off life already in debt. I would rather set my child up with a business, selling something online, making money, than sending her to a college where she going to have $100,000. If she don't make it online with this business, it'll just be a couple of thousand. It won't be $100,000.
Right.
I'm saying that's just something you got to think about. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to have to deal with them until they get themselves together. You their parent. Who else can they count on?
Amen.
So you got, these are things that you got to think about. They already said that rich people set their kids up for success. Most of their kids get degrees. But guess what? People go to school. They caught one of the girls from Walmart. She was paying a young lady to go to school for her and take her tests. So do you think that the rich people, kids are really going to school? Some of them are, and some of them paying their way through school.
Oh.
So they're going to get the degrees regardless. It's because it's about who you know. Hollywood people know those people. Oh, my daughter want to go to Stanford, or she want to go to Harvard, or she want to go to, you know, another one of those elegant schools up there, because all those type of schools have sororities, and those young people that get in those sororities get jobs through people that they know. They sorority help them bring them out into the world and get them good jobs. So they connected. So I'm just saying, people need to think about that. That's something that you really need to think about if you got kids going to school. But if you want them to be successful in that, and that's what they want, well, then I'm just saying, hang in there as a parent, but don't mortgage off your house, okay? Don't mortgage your house out for your kids, because your kid might be old enough to sign for their own self, which is good. But they go still, when they come out of college, they go have that debt hanging over their head. They start off in the world in debt. Now, how can you get ahead and we already then hyperinflated prices three, four times, and then your kid is going to school and getting another debt? They ain't going to never see no light. They ain't going to never see where, you know what I'm saying? They going to always have bills, always. So just get ready for it. If that's how your kids and your grandkids is going to school, you know, that's just something to think about. You make the final decision, but you don't want your household going through any rough times because you made bad decisions or you made decisions and you didn't think. So think about that. You know, if they can take on the whole loan and they sign it over to them, let them do it like that. Don't put your house in jeopardy. Don't do any of that so them kids can go to school. Because guess what? When you long gone, or if you even leave something to them, by the time the attorneys get through with it, won't nothing be left, and they'll still be in that same situation. So that's something that you need to think about as you get older. Most people want to stay in their homes. They don't want to mortgage their homes for their kids and grandkids. I know I wouldn't at this time. You know what I'm saying? So just think about it. So if you can help them think of something to do where they can make money for themselves, that's the best thing to do, and be good at it and make your money. Because most of the billionaires out here, most of them started college, but they didn't finish. Most of them went 2 years and just got out of, just, you know, left and went on and did their own thing. So I'm just saying, a lot of billionaires will tell you they went to college, but they didn't finish. They didn't get no degree. Most billionaires don't have no degree. Most millionaires don't even have a degree. But they telling the regular people to get a degree because, again, that's a trap. If you go do it, especially if the numbers is up there, 80, 90, up there really high, if it's really high and expensive, your child ain't going to never get out of that. So that's something that you need to think about. They need to be good at it or whatever. But if they go for it, you, at least you know. So you won't, you know, you could be that foundation for them. Amen. But that's what I want to talk today about, the reparations, amen, and God delivering things. He's always on time. Amen. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And before we go, I'm going to open up the floor right now for praise report or prayer request. Because right now, I'm telling you, we need prayer, people. We need prayer. Every time you turn around, we need prayer. We really do. So let's stay on our knees and let's stay praying. Because I'm telling you, this is a battle. We are at war. We are at war, people. Amen. So right now, I'm going to open up the floor. Any prayer requests or praise reports?
Well, I have prayer requests. Please pray for Connie. I'm going to tell you about Connie and her son, Jared. Well,
yeah, you said her name is Connie?
Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you about Connie. She got brain cancer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They found another tumor, and they say it's fast growing. So continue to keep her in prayer. And then another friend, well, I call her Miss Curtis, her name is Curtis. And
Curtis? You know, her name Curtis, so,
yeah.
Curtis? Okay.
Yeah, and this is her third time having a brain tumor. So she got a brain tumor right now.
Okay. Miss Curtis do?
Yeah. Mother
and then you said Connie too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Connie, okay. Curtis, and Dora. Dora had cancer too. So all these people have cancer. So.
Oh, all these people got cancer. Okay. Her name Dora? Okay.
Yeah. Dora, Connie, and Curtis.
And Curtis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got them. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and anyone else, do anyone else have a praise report or prayer request? Because we know God is good. He's moving all the time. I can't give him enough praise. Amen. I just can't give him enough praise. Morning, noon, and night. I just thank him for the coverage when I go out. I just thank him.
I'm calling for financial and healing.
Amen.
Amen. That's Sister Kendra, finances and healing. The Lord had already blessed her one time. She's looking for some more financial blessing. Amen. Amen, Sister Kendra. You got your request with him before? Keep on praying, girl. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying. Anyone else that has a prayer request or a prayer report? Anybody else need any financial blessings? Because God is blessing. I'm telling you, he's blessing. Anyone else?
I guess you need financial blessings. I ain't turning no money that well, financial blessings.
Okay. Amen, Sister Paige. Okay, so Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, that you please visit Sister Dora. We want you to visit Sister Connie and Sister Curtis. Father God, we asking that you visit them in their rooms. Amen. We asking that your presence be before them. Let them feel some peace. Amen. Yes. In their state. Father, we ask that it's your will. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. But Father, if you can heal them, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to heal them. If you can comfort them, Father, give them comfort. I know you can give them comfort. But let your will be done and not mine. I ask that you bless each and every woman, Father. I ask that you watch over them, give them peace. Don't let them be in pain, because I know with this type of disease, you can be in a lot of pain. I ask that you ease the pain. Amen. And I just ask that you be with their family, too. Amen, Father. Be with their family. In the event that you decide that you want to take any of them home, but we ask that you please, Father, we ask that you heal them, because I know their families will miss them dearly and want them home with them. So, Father, let it be your will, your way, but we ask that you please visit Miss Dora, Miss Connie, and Miss Curtis and give them your love and reinforce their love with you, to know that you are there for them. Give them peace and let them not be in pain, and let them know that we love them as well. We're praying. You have people praying for them. Amen. We are praying for these sisters. Amen. And so, Father, we ask that you come in and you add whatever it is that you need to add. Amen. To take care of these sisters right now and their family members. And in the event that their family members should hear some news, Father, I ask that you be with them so they won't have such a heavy heart. But I ask that you deal with each and every one of them. But we keeping them in the light, in your light and the life, amen, the life cycle. We're keeping them here with us until you say different. Amen. So, and I want to thank everyone for coming online. I want to thank Sister Kendra. I want to thank Sister Paige. Anyone else that's online, I want to thank you for being there. I want you guys to come back next Friday, and we are going to talk about, I have a very good topic that we're going to talk about, and I'll let you know at the beginning of this week what the topic will be before Friday. Amen. But I want you guys to remember, we are always fighting on our knees every day. The Lord bless. He opened up our eyes. He take us through the day, and we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Father God, I ask that you bless each and every one on the line. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. I ask that you cover the family, the offsprings. I ask that you cover our extended family. I ask, Father, that you just take care of us. Keep us close in your bosom, Lord. And I know we are at war, Lord, but you are a fortress. You will hide us. You will take care of us. Amen. And when we're out in the public, I ask that you watch over us, keep the blood of Jesus on us, because there's so much going on out there today. You never know where evil is present and what evil is trying to do. Just walking down the street, you never know. Evil is just everywhere. And we ask that you protect us, protect your children as when we're out. And we ask that we be blessed going out as we become, bless us coming in. Bless us, Father. You said that our mouths is life or death, and we are always speaking life. We're always speaking life, Father. Amen. Life with you being in the light and just praising and thanking and asking you to continue to cover us with the blood of Jesus and your love and your mercy and your goodness. Amen. So I just thank everyone for coming on today. I will see you guys next Friday, the same time. But in the meantime, if you have anything that's bothering you, anything that's on your shoulder, anything that is keeping you from being the best that you can be with our Heavenly Father, pray on it. I'm asking you to pray on it, and I'm asking the Father, if you have any situation, to fight for you. Open up your mouth. Speak blessings, speak healings, speak love, and be blessed. We speaking blessings over here, nothing else. Thing else, we'll have to deal with prayer and the prayer warrior. Anything else, we'll deal with that. We only speak in positive stuff, and we're only speaking blessings. So if you want to hear something different from that, you're going to have to find another place, because here we speak life. And we speak truth in the word of God. Amen. So I want to thank everyone. I want to thank everyone for coming today, and I am going to go ahead now and close it since everyone has put in their request. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I can close it. Okay. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to find my piece of paper, guys, and to close it. But anyway, I'm going to just close it like this today because I can't find a piece of paper. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless the salt of the earth, all those who attend, all those who come looking for love, life, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Word. Amen. And I ask that you continue to work with us. Continue to work with us, Father. Continue to hear our prayers and to continue to show us and guide us. Amen, because without you, there is no me. Without you, there is no me. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you, and we thank everyone for tuning in with us today, and we would like to see you back next Friday. Amen, and ready to go. So now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you flawless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now. Amen. So you guys have a lovely weekend. The sun is shining out here. I hope it's shining where you are. I heard so many different things about flooding, and seemed like the devil is really busy. He's flooding out folks, and if he ain't flooding you out, he burning you up. You know, he's just working. He's just working. He's pulling all of his tricks out. So he's on the warpath too. But honey, if we get together, I ain't studying that devil. I already told y'all, ain't nothing at the salt of the earth is scared of the devil. Nothing. Okay? Because we keep our hands clean. We keep our hands clean over here at the salt of the earth. Amen. So our prayers can get through. So our blessings can get through. Amen. And we want you to be able to come back and say that your prayers got answered and everything. So you have to keep clean hands. Amen. Before God, you have to keep clean hands. Amen. So I want to thank you all for coming on. Have a great weekend. And remember, here at the salt of the earth, we love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Just be blessed, honey. Just be blessed and be glad that you have someone speaking blessings over you. I'd have been to churches, and I've heard pastors preach, but they wasn't saying all the stuff I was saying. They just say a little something, they be going on. Honey, I'm talking about blood, okay? We talking about the blood of Jesus that's supposed to keep us every day. Every day, the blood of Jesus, every day, supposed to keep us, amen? So just know we always speak in life and we speak in blessings, amen? And the blood of Jesus to protect us and everything. The blood of Jesus, people just don't know how strong that blood is. That blood is strong. It will deal with anything, amen? So I want to thank you guys again. You guys have a great weekend. I love you. And remember, the salt of the earth, we are a church without walls. We have no walls. Amen. So you guys have a great one. I see you next week. I love you guys. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Go in peace and not in pieces. Amen. 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 See you guys next week. Have a great weekend.
You guys have a beautiful weekend. Take care. Love you guys. See you next week. Amen.
Life-changing moment. You won't leave the same way you came. He's in our very midst. You will be healed, delivered. He's here to set you free. And because God is near, anything can happen in here. out to experience a life-changing moment. You won't leave the same way you came. 'Cause he's in our very midst.
need you to confess it.
Miracle I have.
Somebody is in need of a breakthrough. You're listening to this CD. You're driving in your car. And you're waiting on God to do something for you. But you got to prophesy over your own self. Somebody say breakthrough. Take it up. Breakthrough is happening here.
In here.